Many of you may be aware of the events that have unfolded these past several weeks and a series of revelations that have come out, particularly about the church during the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. We've been rocked by a series of scandals where the shortcomings of leaders during that period has come to light. Many of those priests and cardinals are now retired and no longer in active ministry. And I would love to say to you that it came completely as a surprise, that I didn't see it coming at all. But I'll be honest with you, and I'm talking about my childhood a little bit. One of the things, I can say this a little bit more openly here because I didn't grow up in North Carolina. I didn't grow up in the Diocese of Raleigh. But I had a fundamental intuition when I was a kid that something was off in the church. I would hear the gospel proclaimed. I would hear the readings. And then I would hear a homily that wasn't necessarily mean or nasty, but it wasn't necessarily explain to me what the scriptures were about. There wasn't a resonance with the teachings of the church. And at the time, I felt that everything had changed after the 1960s, that we had gotten rid of everything from the past, and somehow that past was bad. I really didn't know what it was, but somehow this newness was good, but it was kind of limp, for lack of a better word. It was kind of soft. There wasn't much substance to it. So when I went off to college, I fell away from the faith because I didn't believe Catholicism was a really intellectual or solid religion. I didn't think it had a lot to offer, especially when I started to study what I would now realize is the modernists, things like Karl Marx, Nietzsche, Freud, and they seemed to have so much richer ideas. And I was like, well, what does the church have to offer in that? I didn't think they offered much until I came back. Then when I came back, I started to study more, and I felt like I had been robbed as a kid, that I hadn't been exposed to the truth, that my formation had been kind of weak and limp, and it had lacked the solid. So when I first started discerning a vocation to the priesthood, it was very much in the mind that I wanted to make sure that the next generation did not go what I went through. And now what has come to light, we know, maybe not the priests weren't, maybe not predators and things like that, like we've come to light, but we recognize that a disease had infected the church. And there's many layers to this disease, but I would say fundamentally, that the spirit of the world, a heresy called modernism, had infected the church, that there were many priests and religious that we shouldn't be scandalized now because we realize their shortcomings, who didn't believe the fullness of truth. They didn't believe in chastity. They didn't believe in divine revelation. They didn't believe in the power of the sacraments to save. I went to confession twice when I was a kid, once in my first communion and once on a retreat. I didn't start going to confession regularly until I was 23. And I can tell you, you can't overcome mortal sin without confession. So it's not surprising. People who don't believe in mortal sin, don't believe in confession, are going to soon fall into those patterns. So I've dedicated a lot of my priesthood to illuminating the truth, the beauty of what the church has to offer. And at first glance, you're like, well, what does today's celebration have to do? It seems almost like a dramatic contrast. On one hand, we see the ugliness of cardinals and priests and bishops. And then on the other extreme, it seems like a fantasy or an ideal that the Blessed Virgin Mary was without sin, a spotless virgin, and that she was assumed body, blood, no, not body, blood, so that's the Eucharist, a little bit off there. That's the problem when you don't write stuff down, right? So she was assumed bodily into heaven because her body was without stain. And at first it seems like, oh, that's so far and so distant. But I believe that is precisely the message that we need in our modern times. A, that our humanity and our sexuality can be healed. It can be oriented properly. I'm aware of this constantly as a priest. I'm in the midst of a culture that doesn't believe that a celibate man can be happy, that a celibate man can be chaste. And one of the things I strive to witness to on a regular basis is that is possible. And the Blessed Virgin Mary witnesses to that. And she wasn't some weak person on the sidelines. No, there's true strength and virtue. It's not cowardice. It's not a running or fleeing from the world. It is facing the reality of sin head on, courageously, being courageous witnesses to the truth. Another reality is that the miracles are all true. The Old Testament, all of those things, that was a feature of modernism, that miracles aren't true, that Jesus didn't truly rise from the dead, that they're just fables that we tell ourselves. No, it is all true. That is what I believe, and that is what I bet on. And what I found is the more that I bet on that, the more I surrender to that completely, A, there's a growth in chastity. B, there's a growth in happiness. C, there's a growth in virtue. There's a surrendering to the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is why I'm convicted to preach as a priest over and time again, is to share what I have first received. So today I'd ask you to consider, one, pray for our priests and our bishops and our cardinals during this difficult time. But also pray for the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that instead of being discouraged by the scandals we see, be encouraged to commit yourself to the path of holiness with renewed vigor. And if you have children or grandchildren that are being called to the priest, don't assume that it's just going to fall into place. Challenge them to grow in holiness, to be men and women of prayer if they're called to religious life as women, that they be committed to intimacy with Jesus Christ, because that is the path out, an embracing of the fullness of truth and Jesus Christ. Amen.